It is important to stay in touch with your heart. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are really starting to get on your nerves, remember the words from the musical Les Miserables, to love another person is to see the face of God. You know how I talk about, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, how I talk about how God calls us to be domestic mystics? Domestic means, you know, right here, right now, practically in our kitchen, in our homes, and, you know, in our sanctuaries. How we need to be able to see with the eyes of God. And that's where I use this phrase from Les Miserables. To love another person is to see the face of God. Because if we can recognize the face of God in those who get on our nerves, and those people who take advantage of us by getting us to do some of their work, you know, in the office setting, whatever the situation may be, if we can recognize the face of God in them, we will treat them with great respect. We may not necessarily like them. We might not have them in our inner circle of friends. But the relationship will be based on respect. Because God dwells in them. God dwells in everybody. God dwells in our worst enemy. If the God factor is removed from a person's life, the person goes out of existence. Okay? Alright. Just want you to remind you that because it's Thursday and sometimes by this point in the week, people really can bug us. Right, we're sharing the different Beatitudes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Today's Beatitude is chapter 5, verse 8. And blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall see God. When I was growing up, it was translated into English, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. But I like more single-hearted because it doesn't have such an emphasis as we often talk about purity in relationship to chastity. I don't think it's that solely what this beatitude is referring to. I think the beatitude is referring to the way a person, his or her whole entire being, especially their affective life, is directed towards God. They're single-hearted. They're single-hearted. And that is such a blessing, right? Because when you're single-hearted, you are liberated. I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. St. Augustine says, love God and do what you want. Now, you have to understand what that means. You got to take the first part before you think about the second part of the sentence. If you genuinely love God, you would only do the things that please God. And of course, if you're only going to do the things that please God, then you are free to do what you want. Because whatever you want will fall in the category of pleasing God. Do you see how being single-hearted frees a person? It does. What happens when you have a double loyalty, a double-mindedness, a double-heartedness? You know the pain that inflicts on relationships, starting with yourself. You can't even live with yourself. When you're living like a double agent, when one moment you're acting like a genuine follower of Jesus Christ and in another setting, you wouldn't be able to possibly indicate that the way you're acting, the way you're talking, the way you're interacting with people, you couldn't possibly describe that as following Jesus Christ. You want to be single-hearted, not double-hearted. Let's take some examples, okay? Let's start with celibacy, you know? We priests, we're called to be celibates. Celibacy comes from the word chelibs, which means to live alone. Not to have a spouse, right? Well, celibacy, for some people, is a fate worse than death. That's the way they talk these days. They see no value to celibacy. But, you know, a genuinely healthy celibate who is single-hearted is such a blessing in a variety of ways. His or her relationship with God is really one of intimacy. Intimacy, intumisi. Secondly, the way they interact with people is with great respect. They don't use people for their sexual gratification. They don't use people to get perks. They really do recognize God in the other person. You know, same way with virginity. You know, a lot of people just dismiss virginity as something you can't live, or it's a sign of being, you know, frigid. You can't interact in a loving way with people. That's not true. Again, virginity is a way of being single-hearted. When Paul talks about remaining single, and he, rather than get married, especially if you were once married and now you're a widow or widower, he's not putting down marriage. What he's trying to say is there's a freedom there, a genuine freedom that allows you to be wholehearted in the direction of your time and energy towards God. No, not everybody's called to celibacy. No, not everybody's called to virginity. But I think we really need in our society today to promote those as values rather than curses. So, as I said, some people see celibacy as a fate worse than death. But let me use some examples now from your life, okay? Say you're married, but you travel a lot with your job. And when you're on the road, you stay at hotels. And you, after working, before you go up to your hotel room, you're sitting, getting a bite to eat, having a drink maybe. You know, it's open season on married people these days, even if you're wearing a wedding band. People don't care. But if you're single-hearted about your vow, your lifelong vow to your spouse, there's no way anybody's going to seduce you. There's no way you're going to give in. Even if you're feeling very lonely, even if you're feeling vulnerable. This would be true if you work closely with the opposite sex. And with more and more women in the workforce, sometimes they work very, very closely with men. Again, a spouse would not say, let me give you an example. Say you work with tax, you're a CPA, you work with taxes. And you know that busy time of the year leading up to tax day in April, those last 6 to 8 weeks before tax day, I mean, there's long hours in at work. And so you send out for pizza, or you run out to grab a bite to eat and come back to the office. And you're married. Does your spouse, he or she, have to be worried about you? Not if you're single-hearted in your love of your spouse. Should they become paranoid over the fact that you're working with a lot of the members of the opposite sex in the office? Not if you're single-hearted. Or take a person who has a lot of money flowing through his or her hands. If they're single-hearted and understanding God's will and understanding the commandments of living their Christian walk, then they're not going to steal. Now, how many church embezzlements as well as other big embezzlement cases hit the news media? Huh? Last example, and this is one I use a lot when I'm working with kids in school. Because, you know, doing skits with kids gets their attention a lot more than just talking directly at them. So I use the example, and Reader's Digest has used this example many, many times, of a person finding a wall on the ground. So I ask the student, you find this wall on the ground, you look inside the wall, there's money, there's credit cards, what should you do? Well, did you ever hear the saying, finders weepers, finders keepers, losers weepers? Once in a great while, a kid will say that, usually trying to tease me. But I grew up hearing that, finders keepers, losers weepers, right? But you train the kid to say, if there's ID in the wallet, you return it to the person. If there's not ID in the wallet, you take it to the police station with the hope that the person will come and ask the policeman, policewoman, if something has been handed in to the lost and found. single-heartedness. You want to see God, you have to become single-hearted. And in becoming single-hearted, you don't have a double vision. If you've ever experienced them, and I hope you haven't, but if you've experienced for even a short period of time, blurred vision, double vision as we call it, you're looking at a person, but it looks like two persons standing next to each other. You know how scary that is. You know how difficult it is to even recognize the person. You know how it is, what it would be like to try to live a normal life. Sometimes people have to wear a patch over their one eye until whatever caused the problem settles down, some type of trauma to the head, right? Whatever it might be, to the optical nerves. No, single-heartedness is freeing. It helps us to love God and do what we want. It allows us to be in situations that could be compromising with no fear of being compromised. That's what you got to develop. That's what you and I both need to develop, dear listeners. The ability to be single-hearted. And the reward for being single-hearted, you know, blessed are single-hearted, for they shall see God. The reward is H-E-A-V-E-N. For how long? For all eternity. Our prayer partners, the President of the United States. You pray for the President now. Can you imagine the responsibility that a President of the United States has? Whether you don't particularly care for this person, you pray for the President of the United States. Do not let the sun go down today without you whispering a prayer for our President. Today's food for thought. A hug is a great gift. One size fits all. It can be given for any occasion, and it's easy to exchange. That's very clever, playing on words, but you get the point, right? You know, do you hug your children? I don't care how old they are. I don't care if they're all adults. Do you hug your children? Hug is so important. Such a sign of affirmation. Such a sign of unconditional love. Okay, let me see if I can make you smile with today's humor. The mafia man was tired of being ripped off by his accountant, so he hired a deaf mute to be his accountant, figuring that he wouldn't be talking to anybody and wouldn't be more trustworthy. Everything was fine until one day $1 million was suddenly missing. The mafia don hired a sign language interpreter to come and talk to his accountant. He told the interpreter to ask the accountant where the missing money was. The interpreter signed to the mute, and the mute signed back, "I don't know." The angry mafia man shouted, "You tell him that if he doesn't tell me where it is, I am going to shoot him." And so the interpreter signed to the deaf mute, "He's going to shoot you." The accountant quickly signed back, "The money is under the back steps at the warehouse." The interpreter told the mafia don, he said, "He doesn't know where your stupid money is." Let me hear from you, okay? Drop me a note. If you can send me some money from my hospital, make the check to TASH, T-A-S-H, send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. And where there's sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.